Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody's having an absolutely wonderful day today, and I hope you guys enjoyed the Hagman Show last night. If you didn't get a chance to hear it yet, be sure to check it out. I was on there with Doug Hagman for about 30 minutes last night. Great show. Went into detail on a lot of the stuff on the vaccines, into more, expanded more on it, so to speak, since we had a little bit more time. We focused on it, and also the things you can do to increase your immune system and stay healthier while a lot of this stuff is happening right now. So other than that, how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. You did a great job on Hagman yesterday, and I encourage everybody to listen to it. Doug and Joe will be going to the conference down there in North Carolina this weekend. If you guys are going to see them down there, that'll be great. Tell them that I said hi. We were going to go, but it's just one of those things. I mean, we are so busy with everything we do here at Health Masters. It makes it very difficult for us to just to pull up stakes and move the show and move everything. And Austin basically is the president of Health Masters, and so it makes it difficult for him not to be there. You know, we have employees and staffing going on all the time. So it's just one of those things that wish we were there. Hope you guys have fun at the conference, and hopefully we'll see you at the conference in Branson this fall. I'm not sure if we can make that one either, but I think it looks like we may be able to make that one. So that's the one that Steve Quayle is going to be putting on. So we'll have fun with all that, too, if that's able to happen. Oh, by the way, this is an interesting – I'm going to say something here about this. This is not about guys that take this course. We're going to talk about that, too, in a second. But the University of Kansas is offering a course on angry white men this upcoming fall semester. I can't even believe, actually, that this is actually happening, but it doesn't surprise me. The course will examine manifestations of male anger and the role of dominant and subordinate masculinities. The University of Kansas is offering this course based upon these dominant subordinate masculinities as they connect to rights-based movements of women, people of color, homosexuals, and trans individuals. Angry white male studies. Except it's true. It's HUM 365, which is being offered during the fall semester. Goes to the deeper sources of this emotional state while evaluating recent manifestations of male anger in Europe and America from 1950 to present during the course description. The course is cross-linked under both Humanities Department and the Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies Department of KU in its option to satisfy Humanities School requirement. Now, notice, I'm going to stop here for just 1 second to talk about this. It's from 1950 to present. They're not going to talk about how in 1940, the United States in 1941 got into World War II and basically freed Europe from National Socialism, from the Nazis. They're not going to talk about how these angry white men stormed the beaches of Normandy and basically defeated Adolf Hitler. They're not going to talk about that. They're not going to talk about how communism became a great scourge and how we fought against that. They're not going to talk about that either. What they're going to talk about is men staying in their place and basically being subordinate to women, to trans, and to every other ethnic, social, welfare, weirdo group. In other words, shut up, sit in the corner, lick the boot, be quiet. That's what they're going to talk about in the class. I'm telling you, it's going to be like that. And it's not that the men who are going to take this class are going to be the problem. That's not the issue. Those guys are already done. They're finished. If they're wimpy enough to take this as a humanities elective instead of just taking humanities, you know, learning about art or whatever, they're pretty doggone wimpy. In other words, they're going to learn how to better lick the boot. And that's what they're going to do when they take this course. So if they're taking the course, they're done. My problem is this, that I have with this, is that a lot of people are going to take this course, primarily women, who may have been raised in a very conservative environment, in a Christian environment, at a home basically where people had an alpha male role model, female role models, female alpha role models, and they're going to be taking these courses just to fulfill humanity's requirement. In other words, they're going to say, oh, I have my schedule from 10 to 11 Monday through Fridays open. I can't get another class for my humanities requirement. I'm going to take this class. It'd be fun to watch and take this class. It'd be funny. And plus, it fills the requirement. Okay? So they're going to take this course, not realizing what they're getting themselves into. And here you may have a really nice girl who basically wants to get married and have a family, maybe be a professional. I don't know. Pick what she wants to do. now she takes this course, and it's a giant class on, you know, why you should be a lesbian. I'm reading into this now, by the way. These are my opinions. Why you should be a trans and why you should hate white men and how white men are all aggressors. And quite frankly, if you look at people like Joe Biden, creepy, creepy, weirdo Joe Biden, who should have had his head knocked off long ago for touching women and children, you see him as a role model, you go, yeah. Or how about Bill Clinton? Another horrible, horrible role model, likes to basically, you know, have sex with anything that walks, talks, or moves. Or let's look it up. Let's look at Trump. Likes to have sex with anything that walks, talks, or moves, as long as you're a porn star or basically good looking, I guess, whether he's married or not. And so you have all of these horrible role models of men that basically have become successful. You got Creepy Joe, Vice President, Clinton, President, Trump, President. And you go, wow, okay, these guys are all a bunch of creeps. So these women who may not have started off being a man-hater get transitioned into this man-hating attitude. These young girls, these 18-year-old girls. And you're like, well, they shouldn't be in that class anyhow. They shouldn't be in that course. Well, I know that. But then what happens is, what if they don't take the course and other girls take the course who are friends of theirs? A little leaven works its way through the entire loaf is what the Bible says. And that's the problem with courses like this. You get some whacked out, weirdo, feminist, transgender creep teaching this course. When they walk in, you go, is that a guy or is that a girl? What is that? You can't really ask her because that's not politically correct if she's a guy or a girl. But I think she's a girl, but I'm not sure. But it may be a guy. And I've been there, guys. I have seen that. I told you a few months ago, I went up to a pastor's conference up in Atlanta, and we stayed at a resort there. They gave us a room for the evening. Went to have breakfast, and there was a girl, guy, it, cooking breakfast. And I asked her simply this. And she saw that I was an alpha male. And I asked her simply this. I said, could you please cook my eggs in real butter? That was my big request. And she went nuts and started arguing with me. And I had to get a manager involved. And I asked the manager. I said, I got to ask you a question. I said, is this a man or a woman? She goes, I don't know. I'd have to look at the employment application. I don't know what she is. They hired her. And I'm like, whoa. And I said, well, is it hard for me to ask to have my eggs cooked or my omelet cooked in real butter? No. But again, this girl was a man hater, an it hater. Well, I don't know what it, I still to this day don't know what she was. It was. And so this is the problem, and this stuff gets pushed and pushed and pushed at these university levels to the point of making it literally impossible for men to have a decent girl to date in some of these major universities that's not a skank or a feminist or a liberal feminist Nazi or whatever you want to call them. They get unbelievably adamant and mean. And see, here's the problem. A lot of these girls are pretty. I mean, they're pretty physically. And you start dating them, and all of a sudden you still go, whoa, what the heck, man? That's not what – you're not what I thought you were. You're like a liberal feminist weirdo. See, that's the problem that you run into when this type of education is allowed to be taught. Think about it now. Why don't they teach what would have happened if angry alpha white men had not stormed the beaches of Normandy? Let's have a course entitled that. Let's have a course entitled what would have happened to the world if angry men, alpha males, did not storm the beach of Normandy, or the paratroopers had jumped behind the lines. Why don't we talk about that? Why don't we talk about what would have happened in World War I? Oh, but that's right. We got to remember, though, don't we? All of these wars were banker wars. All of the wars were put together by the Rothschild boys. And all of the stuff they did after the war through the Frankfurt School was to do exactly this. To feminize the men, destroy the nuclear families, destroy the role models of men and women, and make women and men hate each other. Oh, gosh, I said it again. That's the goal. Because when women and men hate each other, then you got a bunch of lesbians running around who like each other, a bunch of queer boys running around liking each other, and women and men hate each other, and they don't have babies. That goes right back to the big old thing as far as eugenics, doesn't it? That's what this is all about, guys. It's about destroying the United States, a one-world government, one-world religion. Keep your eyes on the ball. Don't get all caught up in the weirdo stuff that's going on with some of the social media stuff and some of the alternative news people now that have gone off the deep end and left the reservation and act like a bunch of nuts. Don't pay attention to that. Keep your eye on the ball. It's the international banking cartel. It's the Kabbalists wanting to destroy the role model to create a world that's completely evil. That's what's going on. But guys, warn your children when they go to college that don't take classes like this, and don't hang out with girls or kids that take classes like this. And one of the first things you need to do, kids, if you're going to college, number one is this. You need to pick a good school. That's to make sure it's fully accredited. If it's a state school, try to live at home and not try to do the whole heavy-duty tuition and the housing and all the other stuff. Just try to do it local, like a local college. And remember, when you're going to school, stay in church. You know, stay in your Sunday school class, in your young adult class. Stay in church. Listen to the pastor. Get additional teaching coming in. I had a friend of mine. I was in a scholarship house in Tallahassee, and I was not saved at the time. And there was a kid named Ken. He was from Brooksville. I'll never forget this kid. And he was a Baptist, and he was really, really a good kid. He didn't do anything. Didn't cuss. He didn't drink. He didn't run around with girls. I mean, he was trying to go through school in a godly fashion. Then he got into this unbelievable heathen scholarship house that I was involved in Tallahassee with about 20 kids in there. Half the people stayed drunk. Half of them stayed stoned in there all the time. And he ended up, after about 3 or 4 years, I saw him again, and he had lost that sweet spirit. He was now a heathen, a drunkard, a womanizer, a cusser, all of it, because he was around it all the time and he didn't stay in school. The Bible warns us that basically you need to stay away from bad people. The bad people corrupt good character. Think about it for a second, guys. This is so important. If you're hanging out with heathen, you got to be really, really careful. I'm not saying you can't witness to them and talk to them about Jesus. I'm not saying that. I think you should do that. You got to go out in the world a little bit and talk to people about Jesus. But if they're not going to be responsive, if they're not going to be engaged with you in that particular type of conversation, why in the world do you want to continue a relationship with them? You can be nice to them. You can be cordial to them. You can do everything every once in a while with them. But if they want to start drinking or boozing or doing a line of coke or whatever, you got to say, I got to go, man. I don't do this. Don't want to be around all this. Stand firm for what you believe. Avoid those temptations. Tell your kids not to take classes like this. These classes, a single class like this, if the instructor is really good, can really screw with their head and with their brain and with their spirit for the rest of their life. Tell them to avoid it. Austin, what do you think?
That's very well said, and you got to look at this aspect of it too, right? So when you're in college and you're taking a humanities class, most people take humanities classes at the beginning of their education career. So they're usually 18, 19 years old, which means they're going to be much, much more susceptible to be brainwashed by this ideology. That's just one thing to talk on that. Another thing, though, that I wanted to address while you were talking about this, what they are doing with these classes is even more deep-seated than what everybody's realizing. What they have done over the years now is they have taken the concept of white male, alpha male, heterosexual behavior, and they've demonized it. They've belittled it. They've put it down further and further and further in the gutter to now, if you exhibit any of those character traits, you are pretty much classified as an angry white male. I mean, the name of this study is Angry White Male Studies. You can't even make this stuff up. If they came out with a class like this, say, even 10, 15 years ago, people would have laughed. The enrollment would have probably been zero, or you would have had that token lesbian in there that wanted to take the class and been one student, and then they would have canceled the class because there wasn't enough people in it. That money. These kind of classes are gaining clout because this ideology is starting to take hold in our younger generation. This is why I have warned people so many times about the younger generation right now and allowing them to be exposed to this type of stuff, whether it be in the universities, whether it be in regular school systems, even whether it be out and about in normal society right now. They're normalizing this behavior. That's why it even says right here in the course description, it says, as they connect to rights-based movements of women, people of color, homosexuals, and trans individuals. So what they're saying right there now is those four topics all take priority over anybody that's essentially a white straight male. We've already heard this brought up so many times. But where this is headed in the near future, guys, listen to me. As you guys have seen, the DSM-4 back in the day, the gender dysphoria was a clinical psychological disorder. It was classified as a disorder. And then in 2011, the American Psychiatric Association changed the name of it and said it is no longer a disorder. It's no longer a disorder. It's no longer a mental disorder. We're changing that now. And now they're turning around and making it not only not a disorder, they're now normalizing it by saying, hey, This is what's going on here. This is okay. This is normal. It's okay. If you want to be transgender, it's okay. And if any white male that's straight tells you otherwise, they have a mental disorder to the point that we need to have angry white male study classes in universities. Mark my words, in the next 5 to 10 years, we are going to start seeing disorders pop up where anybody that is a white straight male is going to be classified as some type of mental disorder. And anything we say is going to essentially be discredited as soon as we say it, even if it's the truth, even if it's about why are we mandating vaccines in states like New York and quarantining people that aren't sick? Why are we allowing the leftists to continually evade our Second Amendment rights? Why are we allowing states to become sanctuary states and allow unfettered immigration? These are all topics being brought up, but it doesn't matter. As soon as the alternative media, including angry white males, if they say these, we're going to be discredited immediately and categorized as a mental disorder. As the new normal, the transgender movement is becoming the new normal thing. For example, the United States is one of the only places in the world that has freedom of speech. Canada now, last week in British Columbia, the Human Rights Tribunal fined Christian activist Bill Watcott $55,000 for the crime of misgendering. I kid you not. Bill Watcott was convicted of misgendering for telling people that a male wearing women's clothing was actually a male and was not a female. You can't even make this stuff up. The tribunal declared that Watcott's statements caused injury to the cross-dressing man, hurt his dignity, feelings, and self-respect, and therefore Watcott must be punished. In Canada, this irrational gender ideology now overrules everything. In the 104-page ruling they did on Watcott, the tribunal judge freely admitted that this decision limits his religion of freedom and his freedom of expression. In section 75-77, it states, there is no dispute that a decision against Mr. Watcott would limit his charter right to freedom of religion. While Mr. Watcott would remain free to hold this belief about transgender people to himself, he will be limited in the manner in which he can spread those views to the general public. There is similarly no dispute that a decision against Mr. Watcott would limit his freedom to publicly express his views about transgender people generally. However, we still rule that he is not allowed to spread those views to the general public. What? Are you kidding me right now? You're fined $55,000 for saying that a cross-dressing man is a man and not a woman, and now they are blatantly saying here it does not matter if this violates your religion or freedom of speech in Canada. You are not allowed to express those views in public. They are literally putting a muzzle on him and saying, if you do this again, the fines are going to be even more exorbitant. The repercussions are going to be even more severe. So now we're slapping you on the wrist with a $55,000 fine simply because you made a statement in public that hurt a tranny's dignity, and now you're going to pay the consequences for it. Guys, they're just on the other side of the border. That's Canada. We share a border with them. Pretty much you can go freely back and from as much as you want. This is where it's headed, and we've already seen now numerous bills that they've tried out in California that pretty much have gone nowhere, that they're trying to do the same thing in the United States. I know there was a passage of the pending Federal Equality Act, H.R. 5, which was going to insert gender identity protection throughout federal law. I don't think it went anywhere. I don't think it's going to go anywhere, but they've pushed numerous bills like this in the United States. Again, it gets it gets stopped immediately from the freedom of speech, the bill, you know. So this is something, though, guys, that's getting more and more and more aggressive. And like Dad said, it's not something that they're just going to go all out and say, oh, this is banned. You can't say this, you can't say this, you can't say this, you can't say that. If you're a straight white male, you're banned too, and you're a mental disorder. And you're like, whoa, what? No. They're doing it slowly and surely, and they're indoctrinating the younger generation. So in the next 10 to 15 years, when these kids get into office, like we see with Cortez, and we have these hardcore, blithering, brainwashed morons that are running for office, and they get in and say, listen, I took angry white male studies in college. That's a very destructive pattern. It's a mental disorder. We cannot allow this to go unfettered. We have to ban them. We cannot allow them to talk freely. We have to ban them. And they're going to turn around, and they're going to start passing these bills, and they're going to allow us to be fully muzzled, all under the guise of protection of other people's rights but our own, Dad. So you're absolutely right. I'm glad you brought that up. Strange this happened out of Kansas, University of Kansas. I did not realize that school has that much liberal faction to it, because, I mean, Kansas is, you know, I mean, that's a food state. I mean, so I'm surprised they have that out there, but I'm not surprised this is spreading throughout the United States like a cancerous tumor. It's getting worse and worse and worse by the year.
Well, remember, these guys aggregate from these rural communities and these rural states into the university systems. We saw the same thing in Montana with the University of Montana there in Missoula. I mean, we went, Austin and I, a few years ago, this is back in 2011, we actually went into a Walmart in Missoula, and I'm just telling you my personal observations. It appeared that every single person who was shopping there was either lesbian or gay. And I'm talking, it looked like 100%. It may have been 90%, but it was really, really high. And this is Montana. This is cowboy country. And the problem is these kids come from all over that region. You got them from Idaho. You got them from Washington. You got them from Seattle. You got them from Montana. You got them in the rural areas. And they aggregate into this extremely liberal college system there, the University of Missoula, or University of Montana. And they basically get indoctrinated. So here they are, cowboy kids, and they come into this school, and they're like, why is everybody queer here? And you're like, whoa, everybody is queer here. I don't want to be here. Well, maybe queer is okay. I mean, this is the weird stuff that you get into when you start dealing with an 18-year-old psyche. And see, that's why parents have to be very, very careful. I really suggest, if you're a parent, that you think about where you want to send your kids. This is why with Harrison and with Austin, I kept them local. I kept Austin at a Christian university. I kept Harrison in high school where I could monitor things in a collegiate class that was basically a dual enrollment class that was a magnet school. It's called, you know, it was called, what was it? It was basically a collegiate high school. I think Lakeland Collegiate High School. And so what happens is people don't realize that if you don't monitor where your kids are and who they're hanging out with, you're going to get into a situation where they're going to get around some really weird people. And you say, well, they're not going to tell you, you can't say this, you can't say that. Look what's happening in Canada. Look what's happening in Australia. You know, there's a place in Australia called, it's called Cairns. It's spelled C-A-I-R-N-S. And you pronounce it Cairns. And a lot of people call it Canes, but it's pronounced Cairns when you're in Australia. And it's like the entrance to the Great Barrier Reef. And years ago, Austin and I, we had a cruise. That was what I was telling you about when Austin almost missed a ship a few weeks ago. And we went scuba diving on the Great Barrier Reef. It was one of the things that I had on my punch list that I wanted to do my lifetime, so we did it. And it wasn't what we thought it was going to be, because it was like a four-hour ferry ride to the Great Barrier Reef and 4 hours back on rough seas. So one day of that was enough. It was 8 hours on a boat, like 5 knots. It was pretty awful, actually. But if it was fun on the reef, I had to enjoy that. But right now, this is from Cairns News. This is North Queensland's People Power News Service. And here's what it says. Vaccine skepticism in Australia now is punishable by 10 years in jail. Now, you just heard what I said. So you're skeptical about vaccines, 10 years in jail. Australian nurses and midwives who dare to speak out about the dangers of vaccinations regarding deadly mercury contents, fetal tissue, and other harmful ingredients on social media or in person will be prosecuted, the Australian government has warned, urging members of the public to report vaccine skeptics to the authorities. Medical professionals face a jail sentence of 10 years for simply expressing doubt about the effectiveness of vaccines or urging further studies into vaccine safety. Opponents of these new law claim free speech and scientific integrity is under attack in Australia by a government that has been bought and paid for by Big Pharma. Absolutely correct. With no exceptions, we expect all registered nurses, enrolled nurses, and midwives to use their best available evidence in making practice decisions. This includes providing information to the public about public health issues, Chair of the Nursing and Midwife Board of Australia has said in a statement. The NMBA has called the Australians to report nurses or midwives promoting anti-vaccination, as they've been known colloquially as anti-vaxxers. The board will consider whether the nurse or midwife has breached their professional obligations and will treat these matters seriously. Now, 10 years in prison for me telling you, if I was in Australia, if I was a nurse or a midwife, that maybe more research needs to be done. Okay, you've breached your professional responsibility now. You're going to prison for 10 years. I mean, what are they going to do? Remember I told you this the other day. They don't want you to say it. Number one, they don't want it in print. See, when you start putting stuff in print, you start getting a big footprint because people send out the articles everywhere.
Yep.
That's one of the quickest ways to get yourself censored as a part. Start putting everything in print. When you do a show like a podcast or whatever, they don't really pay as much attention to it because it can't be duplicated very easily and sent out. That's why it's important for you guys to send our shows out the best we possibly can, because we can't like send copies of it, photocopies of it. But what happens is, so they don't want you to write it, put it in print, then they don't want you to say it. Guys, the next thing is they don't want you to think it. Can't think that. My friends, I've told you this from Germany, they start shaking when I start asking them questions about the Third Reich. We can't talk like that. We can't think like that. We're not allowed to. You can't allow those thoughts to even come. You talk about censorship. You talk about an Orwellian nightmare. This is what they want. This is where they want to go with it. I mean, it's absolutely crazy that this is happening. You say, well, it shouldn't be this way. But guys, it is this way. By the way, change topics. Just in case you think Trump's doing anything, a migrant surge continues as millions are going to come across the border this year, probably over 1.5 million admitted. El Paso's safety net is feeling the strain. They're having 600 people, 500 to 600 new arrivals every single day from across the border into El Paso. Now, you think about that for a second. How does El Paso handle that? I mean, 600 people a day in El Paso? I'm going to ask the question again. Mr. Trump, why are you allowing this to happen? Oh, that's right. Never mind, Mr. Trump. I already know the answer to that. You're not in charge. The Rothschild globalist Nazi faction of the international cartels basically wants to destroy our country via Cloward and Piven and get rid of the white people. And that's why we have classes about angry white men in the University of Kansas. I mean, that's where this is going. So that's interesting. By the way, left-wing cities are now going lawless. No surprise here. As Boston orders police to stop arresting criminals for breaking and entering and destruction of property and or shoplifting. As if you didn't think it could be bad enough in Boston, here we go. Leftist policies are reaching new levels of insanity in Massachusetts as the Suffolk County DA, Rachel Rollins, has now pushed her highly contested no-prosecute list into action. The list gives a green light to a number of arrest-worthy offenses, including trespassing, shoplifting, disorderly conduct, and wanton or malicious destruction of property. In other words, local law enforcement is being directed by the district attorney to stand idly, while miscreants and steal and destroy property. The directive from Rollins is also orders police to refuse to cooperate with ICE in the arresting of illegal immigrants, probably who are doing these crimes, along with some of the local weirdos, no matter what the severity of their crimes. What could possibly go wrong? Guys, I mean, it's like I said yesterday, we're living in the Twilight Zone, man. This whole thing has just gone Looney Tunes in the United States. Why? Because the communist agenda pushed and created the Rothschild Revolution of Russia and the murdering of the Tsar, started back in the early 1900s, actually started in the mid-1800s, pushed into its fulfillment of taking over Russia, putting a central bank into Russia in the early 1900s with the murdering of the royal family there, the king, the Tsar. And that same group of people then pushed into Europe, pushed into Germany. You know, Hitler stood against them, did not want the communists there. If you don't believe that, read the book Mein Kampf. I haven't ever been able to get through the whole book. It's kind of like one of the worst written books I've ever read. Could be the translation, I don't know. Tried to read part of it. But it's all about communism. And then they pushed into our country through the Frankfurt School in the Columbia and infiltrated our schools, infiltrated our universities, infiltrated the media, infiltrated, started Hollywood, started the movies, and have continued to push this agenda down to us for 100 years. And now we have this inner country that everything's okay. We have no moral limits, no moral anything any longer, all brought to you by the international banking cartels who want a new world order. They want to destroy the planet because they hate Christians. They hate white people. They don't like the fact that they've been under the boot, they feel, of Christianity for the past 2,000 years, and they want to destroy the very moral fiber that has kept our world from falling apart through Christianity, is what it is. I mean, that's what it is. The Western world has never been, has the only reason it hasn't gone to this level of chaos before is because we've had the church standing there in the gap trying to tell us, wait a minute, there is a God. There is a right and wrong, and God sees everything you do. Now they're telling you, no, don't worry about that anymore. You just do whatever you want to do, and you have to hate white people, and you have to really hate white men. It's all part of their agenda, guys. What do you think, Austin? What's your next story?
No doubt about it. And one thing that I saw, because I looked at that up in the Boston thing today, because I found it very odd as well. Apparently, Rollins, the far-left district attorney who announced these new orders, essentially for police officers, they're no longer allowed to arrest people for shoplifting, breaking and entering, destruction of private property, resisting arrest, disturbing the peace, drug offenses. She is part of a hardcore leftist program that was actually funded by George Soros a couple of years ago. The program was designed to essentially fund and put a lot of money into the resources of getting individuals elected, including radical attorneys in Chicago, St. Louis, Sacramento, and San Diego. Last week, Kim Fox, who is heavily funded by George Soros, who got a lot of money essentially in her entire election run, was the same one that dropped all the charges against hate crime hoaxer Jesse Smollett in Chicago without explanation. So we're seeing these things start to become normal routine behavior where the far leftists, if it fits their routine, we've got so many of these district attorneys now that are in place that are leftist communists, they're looking out for their own, essentially. The Boston Herald reported on this insane Democrat that's running this as far as the Rachel Rollins. And this is what Rachel Rollins said in the interview. She said, "I don't believe accountability has to equal incarceration. There are many ways we can hold people accountable without putting them in jail." She went on to say, as for the county's foreign-born population when accused of crimes, she stated her office will begin to factor all charging and sentencing decisions in the potential of immigration consequences. She adds that if the DJ's office employee observes ICE or Department of Homeland Security apprehending or questioning someone called to court about resident status, they are to immediately alert her personally, her first assistant, or general counsel. So she wants to also go in now and make sure that police have to refuse access to ICE officials for any arrest of illegals at the courthouse. This is crazy to me. This is a just absolute insane. Well, then I pulled up an article earlier, actually, from today, and they said now prosecutors said they've seen a tenfold increase in assault and battery charges on law enforcement officers in Boston in the last week alone. They said now that resisting arrest is no longer a crime, you can't get arrested for it, that assault and battery on law enforcement officers is literally growing exponentially, because as soon as somebody gets stopped, they know they can't go to jail for shoplifting, burglary, breaking and entering, a host of other actually crimes that can get pretty serious. And now as soon as they're trying to be detained, they either run off or they hit the officer or they throw something at him or they club him with a bat. I mean, I'm reading all this stuff. It's like it's anarchy. It literally just went to anarchy in Boston now, and the police are literally getting their hands tied behind their back, figuratively. Now, again, I'm not completely for people getting arrested and going to jail for being in possession of a joint or something really stupid like that. I'm not about that at all. You guys know the prison industrial complex feeds off those type of of charges. That's fine. Go in there and amend state or amend county or amend city regulations and say, hey, we're not going to go in. If you're in possession of this, it's no longer an arrestable offense. We're going to fine you, and you can go on your way and pay the fine, and that's it. But going in now and saying we're not going to arrest people for breaking and entering, we're not going to arrest people for shoplifting, you're going in and you are giving carte blanche immunity to the most obnoxious criminals on the market that go in and just rob, steal, destroy at will, and you're giving them a red carpet to go and do so, and then telling cops, well, you can't arrest them if they do it. And then if they try to resist or you try to stop them and they hit you, well, now we're trying to degrade that and not make it a big deal for battery and assault on a law enforcement officer. This is the entire goal of the communist agenda, is destabilize the country from within. They knew, the communists knew, the bankers knew that there was no way an outside invading force was ever going to have any type of success of taking over the United States continent, the population, either one, period. They knew it. It was never going to happen. They said that when they were dealing with China, Japan, and everything. It's never going to happen. You invade the United States, you are all going to die. Any invading force that tries to force their way into this country will die. That is 100% guarantee without fail. But if you can collapse the United States from within through the social welfare programs, through the hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars in social welfare programs, through the hundreds of billions of dollars through immigration costs, through the hundreds of billions of dollars in health care costs, through all the anarchy and chaos that you're promoting through the mainstream media, and then the top cities, the largest cities in the country, like Los Angeles, like Chicago, like Boston, like Washington, or up there in Seattle, like Miami, and you pretty much come in now and say, okay, we're going to make it lawless here. Now, you can pretty much do anything you want if you're a criminal, and then on top of that, we're going to try to go in and we're going to ban people from defending themselves and having armaments they can defend themselves in. You will successfully clap the United States from within, and that's why it's so important we continually be vocal about our rights, all of our rights, and make sure we stand up for what is right, and we do not submit to this politically correct agenda. Also, too, in Colorado, speaking of this right now, as sad as it is, I like Colorado, beautiful state. They've gone full-blown blue liberal out there ever since everybody's left California and they've ruined it. Now, that's always a funny thing to me, if you guys have noticed that. The cockroach mentality of the hardcore leftists. They're in a state, they ruin a state, they raise in taxes to an insane level, they can't even function in the state anymore, so they leave that state, go to another nice state, and then try to implement their same policies. They did the exact same thing in Colorado. I mean, Colorado was an amazing state, very free state, and they've done that there. They're trying to do that down here in Florida now. We already have the red flag gun law down here in Florida. Well, Colorado just became the 15th state to pass, if it is signed by the governor, which he said it will be, the red flag gun confiscation order, allowing Colorado citizens to be subject to laws which allow their guns to be seized without them having any say whatsoever. As you guys know, citizens will be targeted by the law and be deemed guilty first. Only after their guns are taken will they have a chance to defend themselves in court. This is de facto removal of due process. So essentially now, a family member, friend, or ex-spouse, or ex-girlfriend, or law enforcement can petition a judge to seize firearms from a person they think is a threat to themselves or other. That's all that has to happen. That's it. And your guns are removed with a search warrant. You then have to go back to court and prove you're legally able and mentally capable of keeping your own firearms. What's crazy, though, is the overwhelming majority of the elected sheriffs in the great state of Colorado, 52 out of 62, have been outspoken against this measure. According to Weld County Sheriff Steve Reams, he said, this law also puts cops in danger because they're going to be showing up unannounced to steal people's guns despite no crime ever being committed. He's 100% correct. Despite the resistance from law enforcement, the bill's head sponsor severely disagrees. He says, this bill will give law enforcement and families the tool they need to stop tragedies from constantly happening, and it'll save lives. That was from idiot Representative Tom Sullivan, of course, Democrat. Again, it's always for our safety and protection. It's the same thing over and over and over again. They did it in Russia, in the Soviet Union. They did it in Germany. They've done it in Australia. They've done it in New Zealand. They've done it in China. They've done it in lots of parts of Canada. It's for your protection, guys. It's for your protection. Like, you understand, you don't need to have these guns. You don't need these weapons of war. It's for your protection. We're stealing your property from you to protect you. Don't you get it? We're trying to save your life by taking your property, and so you can't defend yourself, so we can defend you whenever we feel like defending you. If we have time to get over and defend you, if anybody's around the area to defend you, we'll make sure we protect you. This is what they have done all around the world, and the United States is the last great place that has not been affected by these tyrannical gun laws because of the Second Amendment. Yet now, they have found a way to side-skirt the Second Amendment, and it's these red flag gun laws. There's a reason why they are doing them state by state by state by state all across the country now, because they have found this is one of the most efficient ways to confiscate firearms with little to no pushback, because it's a state law now, and the sheriffs do it covertly under the radar, and they do it slowly but surely. You give these red flag gun laws another couple years, it's going to be countrywide, if not federal-wide. You know, we already have Bubble Boy Rubio in Florida trying to push those. That's why it's so important. If you're in a state that hasn't gotten these red flag gun laws yet, please be vocal. Contact your state representatives, and I mean that sincerely. We already had this happen in Florida, and we didn't even know what happened. We didn't even know how it happened. You didn't even hear about red flag gun laws in the media until they did it in Florida. Nobody even knew about it. There's only a handful of states that have done it, and a lot of times they didn't even do anything with it because it was just kind of like on paper. Then all of a sudden, down here in Florida, got national publicity after Trump said, we need to take the firearms first and deal with due process second, and intentionally made sure that in the state of Florida this was pushed, made national headlines, because Florida is such a gun-free state, not a gun-free state, a gun-supporting state, and now all these other states have followed suit because Florida did it down here, and we have to deal with this mess that we allowed to have happen. Don't let it happen in your state. If you can do anything about it, prevent it from going into law, guys.
Austin, this is Trump. It's all Trump.
I know.
It's all Trump.
I know.
You know, and I'm just, you know, just, you know, and for you guys that are still on the Trump train, which I have now abandoned the Trump train, I left it long ago. With the red flag gun laws in Florida last year, well, that was it for me. I was done. When he told, take the guns. Okay, now let me stop for 1 second. Let's look at it from the Democratic standpoint. You got a bunch of nuts out there who basically have boarded themselves up in their houses. They've got their 100,000 rounds of ammunition and their 40 different guns, and they're basically sitting there waiting for the apocalypse. And they're dangerous to everybody because they're unstable mentally, so we have to disarm them. Okay? That's how they're looking at it. Now, you go say, okay, well, in some little weird way, that may make a little bit of sense. But here's the thing. We've got a Second Amendment. These so-called gun-crazy people waiting for the apocalypse that you so classify them as, they haven't committed a crime. They haven't done anything. And then you get all these people in these gangs that shoot and kill each other constantly in these major cities like Boston, Washington, D.C., Chicago, L.A. You know, you get these gangs that come in and just have fully automatic machine guns that mow people down at will. Just the other day, we had that giant biker fight. We read or talked about it yesterday. You know, you get hundreds of bikers arrested, and they finally just throw the charges out. These are not the people they're taking the guns from. They're taking the guns away from people that haven't done a crime. They're taking the guns away from people that are only having the guns in order, if there is an apocalypse or if there is some kind of invasion of a foreign set of troops or somebody breaks into their house into the middle of the night. These people haven't done anything wrong. And you say, well, some people are just nuts. They shouldn't have guns. Okay, there are some people that are nuts that shouldn't have guns. I got that. And if a person has been declared from a psychiatric standpoint to be nuts, or whatever you want to call it nowadays, psychotic, and they have guns, and they're talking about committing suicide or killing people, and the psychiatrist hears about that, there's a good probability you may want to have somebody go talk to them and see if they're stable enough to keep a weapon if they're going to shoot themselves or their family. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about your neighbor doesn't like you because he got pissed off because you put a fence 3 inches too far to the wrong side of the property line. He knows you got guns. So now he says, you're a danger to the community. Take his guns away. And the sheriff shows up with a SWAT team in the middle of the night, breaks your front door down, takes all your stuff, and says, oh, by the way, if you resist us taking it, now we're going to charge you for resisting arrest. We're going to charge you for resisting gun confiscation. We're going to charge you for not saying what you need to, getting on your knees and licking our boots. We're going to charge you for anything we want. You need to shut up, sit there, and let us take your stuff away. But I didn't do anything. The neighbor's pissed off because I put the fence on the wrong side of the property. We don't care. We don't care. This reminds me so much of the Department of Family Services. I saw Joe abusing Jill, his daughter, who's 16 years old. He fussed at her in public and told her she was acting like a tramp because she had gone to bed with 14 guys in 1 week. Whoa! He did that? Oh, that's child abuse. Let's go take Jill and let's go arrest the whole family and haul everybody off. You're like, what the heck? The dad's trying to tell the daughter not to be a skank. The dad's trying to tell the son that it's not good to go out and drink and take drugs. They do it in public and they fuss at him one time. Now they got some kind of psychological abuse going on. Or the mom basically sees a little child who's 5 years old, and basically he's opening every jar he can find and every wrapper he can find in the grocery store at the checkout line, and she pops him on the hand and says, no, that's a no touch. Oh, my God, it's a child abuse. And now you find out they go to church 3 times a week. They're homeschooling them. They're godly parents. Department of Family Service shows up. And you go, what the heck, man? That's what the red flag gun laws are. They're the same thing. There's no difference. It's the Department of Family Services running amok and out of control. Now we're going to have the same thing with the Sheriff's Department running out of amok. And they're getting incentivized with millions and millions of dollars to bring millions and millions of dollars on who gets the most guns. Are you joking? No, I'm not joking. It's all what it's about taking away our Second Amendment rights. You know, it gets to the point, Austin, where it becomes so ludicrous to even believe they can make up more stuff about any of this. And then I got an article just came in from Harrison a second ago. And it's from Forbes magazine. You know, it's a big cover story here with Forbes magazine by Carolyn Milton. And this is what these weirdos actually believe. And here's the name of the article. What if toxic masculinity is the reason for climate change? Now, I'm not making this up. What if toxic masculinity is the reason for climate change? When a person walks out of a grocery store holding an eco-friendly canvas bag instead of a plastic bag, what gender do you think they are? Most likely, your unconscious bias answers they're female. This is the type of answer Dr. Aaron brought to Utah State University is trying to get to the bottom of through his research. And, of course, I'm sure he's fully funded through the Democratic left to do research like this. Co-authored a paper with professors from 4 other universities to understand how gender norms affect sustainable decision-making. The data reported from 7 experiments included over 2,000 participants in the United States and China. What they found was remarkable. And so now they are now blaming, guys, toxic masculinity for the fake climate change model that they're inducing via chemtrails and geoengineering. So everything goes back to toxic masculinity into white people. You think, what the heck are they really doing this? Yeah, I'm not making it up. You go to Forbes, you look at them. In fact, I'll post that one on our website, Health Masters News Feeds. I mean, this is what's happening. Here's another one that I want to talk to you about. This is from California Globe. Thousands of outraged parents rally at a state capitol over hyper-sexualized K-12 curriculum. Thousands of outraged parents are incredibly angry over the explicit language that's unsuitable for radio being taught to elementary school children as young as 4 and 5 years of age, 6 years old. California public schools are not your grandfather's schools any longer. Today's lesson plans are written by social justice warriors and lesbian and gay activists, transgenders, and other types of weirdos, and enshrined in the California Educational Code. But what they're being foisted on is children as young as age 5. Why? These children are in a theta brainwave state. They're in a dream state, and they believe every word they're being told. Words that cannot even be uttered on public airways, because radio stations would receive violations letter from the FCC, are being taught to 5-year-old children. If sexually explicit language is unsuitable for public consumption on radio, wouldn't it also be unsuitable for a 5-year-old? Thousands of fired up mothers, dads, preachers, pastors, teachers, grandparents, and concerned citizens rallied at the state capitol Thursday to protest plans to add even more sexualized content to kindergartners. Wow. Informed parents of California, the California Family Council organized a rally over the curriculum proposals and then walked a few blocks to the State Department of Education for the Instructional Quality Commission meeting to make public comment on the proposed health and curriculum framework changes, including more and more filth, more and more gay and lesbian teaching, more and more transgender teaching, all of it, guys. This is what they want to do. They want to hypersexualize the children. Why? Because in their pedophilia, little weirdo, sicko beliefs that they should be the ones getting arrested, not gun carriers, they believe it's okay to have sex with children. Why is that? Why is it okay to have sex with a three-year-old? Oh, by the way, the Kabbalah teaches that teaches it's okay to do that. Just thought I'd mention that. That's okay. That's all right. Three is good. That's what they think. Think, well, where's it all coming? This is where it all comes from. All of this filth, all of this debauchery, all of this crap is right out of the Communist Manifesto, right from good old Lenin and Stalin and Marx and all the rest of these boys and girls, these Rothschild flunkies. This is where it all comes from, is the Kabbalah. And you think, well, wow, that's unbelievable. It says that kind of stuff. Why don't you read it yourselves or look it up? If you want to look at that, look up the Babylonian Talmud, see what it says. And this is the problem. Christians believe that the folks over in Israel right now practice the Old Testament, the Torah. That's not what they practice. It's the Kabbalah. It's the Talmud. It was written 600 years after Christ's ascension and resurrection. This is the problem, and it's permeated itself through the communist teaching, through the Frankfurt schools, all the way through our educational systems, and it's gone through the CIA, all of this to bring in the new one world order. You say, well, that sounds silly to me. Okay, guys, I said this yesterday, and I'll say it again. Find me another reason for this. Find me another plausible explanation for this that doesn't include what I just said. Find me another reason that the communists have come in and have done what they've done and continue to do what they do unimpeded. Find me another reason. Find me something else that says this stuff. Find me literature from any other group of people that basically says this sick crap that you can have sex with a three-year-old. Find me literature with this sick stuff. And I'll say, and find out who runs the school systems. Find out who runs the media. Finds out who runs the publishing presses. Finds out who runs Hollywood. It's all Kabbalah teaching with their atavistic hatred of Christianity. That's what this is. You say, well that sounds, you sound like you're a racist. I'm not a racist. I'm telling you, there's a group of people out there that are Luciferians. They worship fallen angels. They've twisted scripture. They've done all kinds of weird stuff to bring in their agenda of their new world order. That's who this group is. You say, well, it can't just be all of them. No, it's not all of them. I didn't say it was all of them. It's a group of them. And they brought together a bunch of high level bankers, a bunch of high level officials, and all. Creepy Joe Biden is a stinking pervert. Why don't we just call him out for what he is? He needs his head knocked off. He loves to touch little girls and touch little children. If he'll do that in public, what the heck do you think he does in private? What do you think he does in private in the middle of the night? What do you think they bring to him? I'm not saying they do. I'm not accusing him of anything. I'm just asking you a question. If he's willing to touch and fondle little children on camera, what the heck does that stinking weirdo do? Well, see, they want to reduce the age of consensual sex. Why? Because they're a bunch of sickos. This is what these guys want to do. They want to destroy everything and debilitate the mind, the spirit, Christianity, our love for one another, Jesus, all of it. They don't want that anymore. They want their pornography, their perversion, their sick crap all over the media, all over the internet. Why do they do that? Because it's what their father, the devil, Lucifer, has told them to do. Everything goes back to the international banking cartels. Everything. You've got to follow the money in all of this, and you've got to realize this is who they are, this is what they do, and this is their goal for all humanity, is to follow and worship the beast, their Baphomet. Now we've got satanic symbols appearing all over places in the United States. You go, yep, that's exactly right. Satanic symbols are now appearing at government buildings all across America. You say, what the heck? And now they're having Baphomet statues erected in the front of the Arkansas Capitol building. All of this stuff is happening right in front of our eyes with these satanic temples. You say, well, this can't be true. Look it up. Guys, it's not like we make this stuff up. It's all to bring down the United States morally. But first, like Austin said, they got to make sure they disarm you first. Because sooner or later, the toxic white males that are left, I guess that would be me and you, Austin. Sooner or later, we're going to say, the heck with this crap, man. We're not putting up with this crap anymore. And we're going to go ahead and peacefully protest or march or whatever we need to do, wherever we need to go, to try to stop this mess. The problem is, Once an avalanche starts, which it started pretty good right now, it's kind of hard to stop until the whole thing falls to the bottom of the hill. That's where we are right now in the United States. The whole thing's falling to the bottom of the hill. We need to be here. Stay frosty, my friends, because we're going to have to pick up the pieces when this crap hits the fan, and we have to start it over again. I love you guys. You guys are awesome. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for being here. I had the opportunity, the privilege, and I say that very sincerely, to pray for you again this morning. I pray that God continues to bless you and protect you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for being there. Awesome. Finish it up.
Yes, absolutely. And also, too, in other news, this is some positive news for the day. Costco, the fifth largest retailer in the United States, has now stopped selling, or at least ordering anymore, and dumping all the rest of their inventory of the glyphosate-based weed killer Roundup and any other glyphosate products, as the product finds itself at the center of a number of lawsuits filed by people who say it causes cancer. The founder of Moms Across America, Zen Honeycutt, says that three people within the company have confirmed to her they will not be ordering Roundup nor any other glyphosate herbicides in their spring shipments. Administrators for the company have told media outlets that the product was pulled from the store shelves on corporate orders and is a move that applies to every single location. Monsanto, as you guys know, is currently facing thousands of lawsuits similar to the one of Dwayne Johnson last year out in California, who has approved a $78 million lawsuit after they found him to be, he contracted non-Hodgkin's lymphoma directly from glyphosate. They awarded him. Thousands of similar lawsuits are like that out there now. So I'm proud of Costco. I hope everybody starts doing it. Hope Lowe's stops ordering. I hope everybody stops ordering this stuff, because if we can slowly start making a difference, granted, a lot of the damage has already been done with this garbage out in the market now. We have to stop it at some point. That's the thing. We can't say, well, it's already out there, so we'll just keep using it for the next 50 years and see how dead everybody gets. So at least we're getting it out in the market now, off the market. At least the people are waking up now. And even the people at Costco. Costco's a big retailer. They really set the marketplace for a lot of stuff. And if they're already showing that there's not something they want to engage in, sales are dropping for it, there's no demand, and they don't want to have it on their shelves, that means a lot of other retailers are probably going to follow suit if they have any brains, considering how successful Costco is. So awesome stuff to see right now going on with that. Be sure, got a lot of specials rolling right now. The Magnesium Brain Food, the one and only, one of the best, probably I actually say the best magnesium product on the market anywhere. I've tried a lot. I've used a lot. This formula has knocked it out of the park. You guys love it. We love it. Product I take every single day. We put it on a super summer sale right now. A lot of people have been asking about it. We wanted to take care of our customers on sale for over 15% off on the website right now. No coupon even needed right now on the front page of the website, so be sure to check that out. Also, to the Hagman Healthy Immune Kits on sale to keep your immune system strong, and the product of the week, the one and only Prostate Support, really helps maintain healthy prostate functioning, decreases inflammation. Really good product if you or you anybody you know needs help in maintaining the healthy prostate. Great formula for that on sale right now for over 10% off. So a lot of stuff going on at healthmasters.com. Thank you for your support. Thank you for getting your products, even if it's just the ultimate multiple from us and supporting our show. We love you guys. We appreciate you. Stay awake. Be prepared. Wake other people up. You have a blessed, safe, awesome night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.